magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And I am here today with somebody who has absolutely blown me away. And as soon as I saw this person perform, I had to get her on the channel because I've never seen sleight of hand like she does in all of my career. One of the best kept secrets in magic, the one and only Ashley Goodwin. How are you doing, Ashley? Are you okay?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you so much for jumping on the channel with me. I really appreciate it. I know that you're busy. I know that you've got a whole bunch of stuff on. So thanks for finding the time. It means a lot. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
No problem at all. Now, to give people a bit of frame of reference, because there's a lot of people that are going to be watching this interview from literally all over the world, and some people might not know who you are. I'm going to explain why I invited you on the channel, if that's okay, because I want people to understand just how awesome you are. So recently, I reviewed the Torn and Restored Card by Bob Swaddling, and it was put out by Richard Young at changingcards.com. And the trailer, when I watched the trailer, you were on the trailer. And I'd never heard of you before. I didn't know who you were. And I've known Bob's trick. I've been doing the Torn and Restored Card for 25 years. And I've never seen it look so good, including watching Bob Swaddling do it back in the day. I mean, Bob didn't do it as well as you. And I was like, oh my God, who is this person? Why have I never seen this person before? So I then spoke to Richard Young and I'm like, who is this? And he went, it's Ashley Goodwin. I was like, who's Ashley Goodwin? And he went, she's incredible. When we put this project together, we knew we had to get her. She's unbelievable. I'm like, why do I not know this person? And so then I started stalking you in a good way, not in a stalkerish way. And I was looking at your Instagram and I was watching your videos. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you right now. I started watching videos that you were putting up, and about an hour later, I was still watching videos. I was going, because I was like, I've never seen stuff like you were doing stuff that I've practiced for years and given up on because I can't do it. And you were doing it flawlessly, unbelievably. And I remember saying to Ryland, my son, and I was like, mate, I've never seen sleight of hand like this before. I've never seen someone so technically accomplished at such a young age. And so I reached out to you and I said, I'm a big fan. Don't know much about you, but I think more people need to know who you are. Will you do an interview? And you said yes, which is brilliant. And that's where we are. But since doing that and telling a couple of people that I'm doing an interview with you, I must be the only person that doesn't know about you, Ashley, because I've been inundated with people saying, oh, you're interviewing Ashley Goodwin. That's amazing. She's brilliant. Like, I've had so many messages. And Jess the Styles, Tom Mullinger, who I've interviewed on this channel, and he's an incredible magician. He actually texted me and said, this morning, he texted me and said, I understand you're interviewing Ashley. I'm going to send you something. You have to read it out at the beginning of the interview because I know her really well and she's amazing. I'm like, okay, I will. So that whole thing is for me to tell everyone that I'm about to read what Tom wrote, which is, Ashley Goodwin is one of the most talented and dedicated card users I've seen. And yes, she's also the most humble. She's truly one of my best friends who supported me through every high and low of my career. She's a wonderful, wonderful person, an incredible technician. And I'm so glad the magic world will now get to see her and what she does.
Aww, so, that's Tom. Thanks, Tom.
And you know what? Absolutely correct. And before we start this interview, I'm going to tell everyone that's watching this to go sub you on Instagram. That's where you put a lot of your stuff, isn't it, on Instagram?
Yeah.
What's your Instagram handle? I'm going to put it at the bottom of the screen before we even start this interview.
It's Ashley Goodwin _.
Perfect. Ashley Goodwin _. now we've caught everyone up. Normally when I do an interview, I know the person I'm interviewing. I don't know you. So this is going to be new for me, which is going to be really exciting. So let me ask you a question. It's probably very rude of me to ask this, and I'm hoping you don't mind. And please feel free to tell me to get lost. Would you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 25.
25. Okay, so when did the magic bug bite you? What's your origin story? When did you find out about magic?
Well, I think compared to a lot of the people who I know anyway, I got into it quite late. I was 18 when I kind of discovered the magic community. And I think I found it in quite a nice way, because not a lot of people will be able to say this in the future, but I got into magic by complete chance, happened to stumble across a magic shop in Liverpool. And of course, like, it's the one that I found magic in. It's closed down now, sadly. And I think that's happening quite a lot with everything moving online. So
yeah.
It was actually the person working there at the time was someone I think you've worked with recently, Lewis Laval.
Lewis Laval. I was with Lewis just a few days ago.
She's
1914. I'm doing an interview with Lewis next week, actually. He's incredible. Such a nice guy.
So yeah, he was minding the shop. I'd just finished a lecture at uni. I was in my first year. And it was the very first time I'd ever seen magic in person, close up. I didn't know anything about it. The most I knew about magic was I'd seen a few of Dynamo's TV shows. But other than that, I was completely clueless. And yeah, he showed me a few simple card tricks, and it was just an instant, I want to be able to do that kind of thing. So I went home and looking through all the kitchen drawers, trying to find a packet of cards that I could use to like start practicing, and the rest is history, really.
That's fantastic. So what's blown me away about what you've just said there is you've only been doing magic for 7 years. You've only been doing magic for 7 years. That's incredible. So like the level of flourishes in cardistry that you do, considering you've only been doing magic for 7 years, is incredible. Did you gravitate to playing cards immediately? Because is it fair to say that playing cards are your prop of choice?
100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was it, playing cards that you immediately fell in love with, or did you try different branches of magic and then settle on cards? Where did that come from?
I think because the things that Lewis had showed me in the shop, it was all playing card related. It was just a few simple tricks. So I thought, right, I'll go home and I'll start learning card tricks. And it kind of just stuck. And then I've tried to branch out into a few different things over the years, but playing cards is definitely where, you know.
I've seen some pictures of coins on your Instagram and other.
I'm trying.
But so what were your influences when you first started? I mean, you've got a very unique style. When I see you perform and I see you do your stuff, are there particular magicians that have influenced your style of magic?
I think, you know, when you ask a lot of people that question, they'll say a lot of the big names in magic is what influenced them. But for me, I think because, I mean, when I first started, I didn't know who Penn and Teller were. I didn't know, you know, David Copperfield. I didn't know any of these big names. I'd just never come across it before. So my main influences, I would have to say, were the people who were teaching me the effects at the time. So, you know, we'd meet up, a few of us in Liverpool. There was a group of magicians. We'd all meet up once or twice a week and just have a jam or a session. And so I think I'd have to say they were the people who influenced me. And then obviously as the years went by and I started following magicians on social media, the one name that jumps into my head straight away is Laura London. Like, how could I not say that? I think she's got such a unique style as well. If you saw a video of someone doing magic, you'd be able to tell straight away if it was her or not, because she's just got that thing about her that you know it's her. And
She is absolutely incredible. And you talk about Laura. My question to you, was it difficult for you coming into magic as a female magician? From that perspective, because you are a role model. My son has always been into magic and my daughter has never really shown much interest. And when I was stalking you, again, that sounds terrible, but when I was looking at your Instagram page, she came over and she was watching and she just literally sat there for about half an hour watching all of your videos going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And since then she's been practicing and she's been, she's wanting to become a magician after watching you. Aww. Really cool.
That's amazing.
Really cool. So like, did you find it difficult coming into magic as a female magician in any way, or was it not too much of a problem?
I would say in the beginning it wasn't an issue at all, because it's not really something that I thought about at all. Mm-hmm. It was just magic and friends, and like that was it. I didn't really class myself as, oh, I'm a female magician. I was just a magician. It's not until over the last couple of years that I've realized how kind of different it is compared to a lot of my friends. So it's definitely a more recent thing. I wouldn't say I struggle with it. It doesn't bother me or I don't find it difficult, but there are definite differences.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I remember seeing on your Instagram page, you talked about a particular prop that I can't remember what it was, but you talked about a particular prop that came out. That was perfect for sort of a girl to carry, and you, I'd never thought of it that way, but you are right. A lot of the props that come out and the magic wallets and things like that, it's the sort of thing a guy would carry around with them, but it's not the sort of thing that a girl would carry around with them. And it was only after reading that post that I kind of realized, yeah, a lot of the stuff that you take for granted at a gig, it's not something that you know that somebody. That a girl would be able to do. Is that frustrating, or is it just a case of?
Yeah, I mean, there's no rule that says I'm not allowed to buy a peak wallet that's like, you know, those black leather ones. I could if I wanted to. It wouldn't be practical, because if you show up, you know, if I work a wedding, I'm in a dress and then I pull out this wallet, it's going to look like people are going to be drawn to it because it doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, wallets, watches, so the effect, it was Alan Morrison's, I think it was called Flux, and it's like a time prediction effect. And watches, again, normally of course they're tailored towards men, because if you know, if you're creating a magic effect and it's gimmicked, you wouldn't try and make it suitable for women, because then you'd end up losing money. Like, women are the minority in this industry, but he kind of found a way around doing that by creating a way for men and women without it being gimmicked. So that was really exciting. It was definitely the first time I'd come across anything like that. And I don't find it frustrating, because I don't know any different. It's just always been the way, but it is one of the things that girls have to kind of find a way around. If they want to do those sort of effects, you've got to find a way to make it work for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what advice, I mean, I spoke at the beginning of this interview about your technical skill is just unbelievable. It really is. I get questions all the time on this channel. And one of the questions that comes up over and over again is, how can I improve my sleight of hand? How can I practice and really, you know, a lot of magicians, they struggle. They try to learn something and they spend days learning it and they feel like they've completely wasted their time because they're not getting anywhere. You've been in magic for 7 years and you're doing stuff that I couldn't do after 30 years by trying. So you must be doing something right here, Ashley. Do you have any advice? Like, what process do you go through when you practice? And let's say you're wanting to learn a new move or a new sleight or a new flourish. Is there a process that you go through that you could maybe share with us that might make it easier for people that are struggling to practice better, for want of a better word?
Yeah, so I mean, practice is one of my favorite things. I know that a few magicians find it quite difficult to sit down and practice, but it's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. It's I'll come home from my day job and sit down with a packet of cards, and that's like, I like doing that. So for me, I think you could practice for hours and hours and hours every day, but if you don't do it right, then you've kind of wasted your time. So for me, when I'm sitting down, I've got one of those three-way mirror things, so you can see it from different angles. So if I'm just practicing something from my point of view, it might look fine, but to the audience, I might not be doing it correctly. So I think practicing in any mirror, if you've got one, or investing in one of the close-up things, it's definitely worth it. It's helped me an awful lot. But also, one of the things that I was guilty of when I first started was I'd practice something until I could do it like fairly well, and then I'd move on to the next thing because I was so excited to try and learn as much as I could and catch up with everyone else who I was seeing on social media, that I'd kind of just stop and then move on to the next thing, and I could do that okay, and then I'd stop and move on to the next thing. Whereas now, I'll sit and practice the same thing for weeks until I find it difficult to do it wrong. And it can be a bit boring because you want to move on and learn something new, but to be able to do it well, that's just what it takes. So bear in mind that you will have to practice a lot to be good at it, because it is a skill.
That's really good. That is brilliant. No, that is really good advice. And it's something that I think sometimes that people forget, but you're absolutely 100% right. Is there a particular, like, you know, some very complicated moves and some very complicated flourishes. Is there a particular magician that you've found inspirational when it comes to learning all of those really complicated moves? Because a lot of the stuff you were doing, I've never even seen before. And you were referencing them on Instagram. Oh, this is the blah, blah, blah change. And I'm like, I'm pretty well read, but I've never heard of the blah, blah, blah change. I mean, I'm pretty sure you never did the blah, blah, blah change, but you get the point. So I was reading this and I'm like, she's doing stuff that I haven't even heard of, let alone stuff that I know how to do. Like, where do you go and learn your magic? If you go, is there a secret magic shop that only Ashley Goodwin has access to, with like secret books and DVDs that nobody else knows but you? Like, where are you getting this stuff from? These really obscure moves.
Yeah, so a lot of my more recent stuff has been heavily inspired by a magician called Takumi Takahashi. And I'd not seen much of him before. He's based in Tokyo, I think. And he was lecturing at Blackpool 2 years ago. So I saw him lecture there, and his style of magic just completely blew me away. And I was lucky enough to be able to have a chat with him afterwards and get one of his DVDs. And his style of magic is very slight heavy, which is that's the kind of things I'd love to practice the most. So a lot of like laser deals and snap deals, and it's all, not all gambling routines, but it is very slight heavy, and I love sitting down and breaking the routines down and kind of structuring it. I'm quite nerdy about that kind of thing, so it was just the perfect style of magic for me. And as soon as I got the snap deal down, I use it in so much now. It's probably my favorite move.
It's something that hardly anybody uses, the snap deal, because it is so difficult to do. I mean, it's such a difficult move. I know of very few magicians that actually use it, and you're saying, oh, it's your favorite. You're treating it like a double lift. Yeah, you know, I do the snap deal all the time. It's a whatever.
It took me a while. I couldn't do it straight away. I was practicing it for weeks, but I love it.
It comes back to what you said before, isn't it? Which is practice makes perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is perfect. And what's your view on flourishing in magic? Because you have those magicians that say, oh, flourishing is, it's not magic, it's glorified juggling. And then you obviously have the other side of the camp, which is, oh, it's beautiful. Cardistry is wonderful, and it's a display of skill, and it elevates the magic. I'm guessing you're more of that side, obviously, as you do a lot of flourishes. But
yeah, I mean, if I was at a gig, I would never walk over to a table and do all these crazy flourishes, because I think depending on the group that you're performing to, it can come across as like you're a bit big-headed and showing off, and you don't want to give that impression. So I wouldn't use it if I was working, but to sit at home and do it, I think it's quite enjoyable. Again, it's breaking the moves down and learning them. I just find it quite fun. But it definitely takes a lot of skill. I'd even go as far as saying it can be more difficult than magic. I'm an amateur at cardistry compared to some of the people out there, but definitely on the side of it's not just glorified juggling, it takes a lot of skill.
It really does. It's wonderful to see. It really is. And as I said, I was blown away when I was watching some of your videos. Now, you said earlier on that you consider yourself a hobbyist. I know that you've gone and worked professionally, and I know that you could probably do that more if you wanted to. Have you chosen to not be kind of a full-time pro so that, I do find that a lot of hobbyists, which is what you described yourself as, they have this overwhelming love of magic. And everyone I've spoken to has said the same thing. Ashley just loves magic. What was the reason behind not pushing for gigs more? Because I know you don't push for them. Your kind of attitude is very simple. If people come to me, cool, but I'm not going to put myself out there.
I think in part it was because I do love magic so much, and I don't want to have to see it as work, because I'm worried that might take something away from it. I know a lot of magicians who work full time and still really enjoy it, but I would go as far as saying I'm obsessed with magic. It's like my whole life, near enough. And so I do it because I enjoy it and I want to keep it that way. So I think that's probably mostly what.
And there's an important lesson there to learn. You know, I think that a lot of people that get into magic, they have this burning desire to be a professional magician. But some of the best magicians I know, the John Bannons of the world, the John Gustafaros, the Ryan Schlutz, the list goes on and on and on. They're not full time. They're amateurs. They're hobbyists, and they're incredible. I mean, they really are. Do you ever create your own magic or your own moves? Or do you kind of just focus on taking from, you know, different sources and learning from other people?
I never sit down and actively try to create something new, because that's not where my strength lies. I wouldn't say I'm not creative, but definitely not in that sense. Like some of my friends, Alan Morrison, Matt Parrott, they're incredible at creating their own things, but I mean, I would sometimes, if I sit down and I'm trying to learn a new move and I can't quite do it the way that the person is saying is the correct way, I'll kind of tweak it to make it fit me better, but that's as far as it really goes in terms of creating my own magic.
No, that's fine. I just wondered, really, to be honest. Now, I want to pick up on something that you said earlier on. You talked about Blackpool, the Blackpool Magic Convention. I've had several people message me privately. It's not been a comment they've put on YouTube. They've messaged me privately asking me for advice because they're new into magic. They've only been doing it a year or two. They've heard about this weird and wonderful convention called Blackpool, but they're nervous about going there because they don't feel that they consider themselves, they've only been doing a magic a year or two, they've been practicing hard, but they don't consider themselves good enough, and they're going to be worried that they're putting themselves in a situation where they're going to be made to perform. Now, as somebody who has been to Blackpool, obviously, and as somebody who seems to, everyone seems to know you, Ashley. Like, I feel like I was the last person into the club. I was the last person let into the Ashley Goodwin Club. Everyone else seems to know who you were, and I didn't. But you seem to be friends with everyone. Everyone I've spoken to, oh, Ashley's amazing. So, you know, you've got this thing where everyone seems to know you and love you. Do you have any advice for somebody who's new into magic that's worried about putting themselves out there, that wants to go, maybe not to Blackpool, but to a club or something, and they want to, but they're worried about kind of putting themselves in a position where the spotlight might be on them. It's kind of like a lot of people call this kind of imposter syndrome, don't they? Is there any advice that you can give? Because obviously you have put yourself out there. Everybody does know who you are and you are relatively new into magic.
I've definitely been in that position myself before, because I'm naturally a more reserved person. I'm quite an introvert, for lack of a better word. And so when I first started practicing and I got to that initial stage where I'm thinking, oh, I could, like, you know, perform, or I could go to a convention and try and learn something new, it is quite daunting if you've never done it before. But especially places like Blackpool, it's the best place to go if you are just starting off, because you can walk around the dealer's hall and, you know, figure out what style of magic you're interested in, because there is so much there. And I mean, you might end up spending a lot of money the first time you go, but it's, I think it's one of the best places. And I've never had a bad experience with a magician there. It's, they're all really friendly. So yeah, if you're new, that's, it might be daunting if you've never done it before, but it's helped me a lot by going to places like that. So
that's fantastic. And you are right. Everyone should go. If you love magic, it's a wonderful place to go, 100%. Can I ask you about social media? Because obviously you've grown a big following on Instagram. And I know you don't put yourself out there as a professional magician, but you've got a huge following just from posting photos and videos of you performing magic. And a lot of magicians that are professionals or semi-professionals, they could only wish to have a Instagram account with as many followers and engagements as you have. So I suppose my question is, do you have any advice as for magicians on how to actually grow an Instagram account? Because that's something that you've done. And like I said, every single video you put out, the engagement is huge. So
I don't think lucky is the right word to describe it, but because I am a woman in magic and I am part of that minority, I think it was easier for me to kind of try and grow a social media following than it might be for a guy who's just got into magic. That's just the way it is. People see me performing magic, and because it is a bit different to something that they've seen before, I don't know. But other than that, I would say, if you are trying to actively build a social media following, to figure out the kind of style that you feel most comfortable with and roll with that, and try and post as often as you can. Engage with other people who interact with you. And it's hard because I've never really tried to build it as like, I want to reach more people. It's something that I do because I love it, and because I'm not gigging every week, posting a video is kind of my way of doing that, if that makes sense.
And it's grown organically, but the advice that you give is 100% true, because I know when I go and watch an Ashley Goodwin video on Instagram, I know the type of style of video that I'm going to see before I see it. I know what it's going to look like. So that's naturally going to build up the correct audience, isn't it? If you're just, you know, one day you're a kids entertainer waving a magic wand around, and then the next day you do an intricate sleight of hand, like what am I trying to attract here? So I totally get where you're coming from. Okay, I've got another question for you, which is, I'd like to talk to you about the Changing Cards trailer, if I can. And before I actually talk to you about that, for the people who haven't seen it, I'm going to roll that video. We're going to have a look. We're going to put it right here on the screen right now. We're going to roll that trailer. And this is the reason, I want you to watch this trailer, guys. This is the reason why I reached out to Ashley in the first place.
The Torna Restored card is traditionally a knuckle-busting piece of sleight of hand. Well, not anymore. With this version, you'll receive a beautiful, handmade gimmick that will allow you to perform this stunning restoration with ease and elegant simplicity. This is Torn and Restored Card. Order now at changingcards.com.
So that's, I mean, I told you off camera before we started. That was amazing. I knew no Bob Swaddling. Like, I've been doing the changing card for many, many years. I've never seen anyone do it as well as that. And I spoke to Richard Young about this. And Richard said that when he spoke to you about getting you involved in the project, you'd never seen the tournament store card before. And he sent you one to play around with. And you were sending him videos back within like a couple of days going, how is this? And he was thinking, it's better than anything I could have done. I mean, it's incredible. And then on the actual shoot, bearing in mind, I don't think you've ever done a shoot like that before. I mean, this was the shoot that Richard did for the changing card. It wasn't like, oh, let's just put something together in our living room. This was like a proper shoot with cameras and grips and blah, 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 blah. Richard really went to town with it. You had Harry de la Cruz there coaching you, which is incredible because obviously this is a guy that's coached Dynamo and now he's coaching you as well. He said one thing that struck him is that you never once got it wrong. He was getting you to do this thing that you'd only just learned a little while ago and do it in so many different ways. And he was just sitting there making gaffes, giving them to you. You were doing it. He was just sitting there all day making gaffes and you were doing it over and over again. And you were bossing it every single time and getting it perfect, which never happens on a shoot like this. I mean, wow. And to impress Richard Young, who's one of the top magicians in the world, I mean, you're doing something right. Yeah. So how did that all come about? Like you said, you know, you've openly said you're a hobbyist and yet here you are, the face of the Torn and Restored Card project. Wow.
I think it was after, you know, the original changing cards, like before he re-released the Torn and Restored one, I did a video of that and I think he really liked what I did with it. And I mean, I'm friends with Richard anyway, and he called me one day and asked if I'd be interested in being in the trailer for something else that he was releasing. And I didn't really give it much thought at first. I just thought, oh yeah, that would be really cool. And then it got closer to the time and it got a bit more daunting when it was, well, this is actually really happening now. But again, it comes back to when he sent me the prototype for the Torn and Restored card. I just sat down and practiced and practiced and practiced until I must have gone through a brick, you know, not literally, but I'd practiced a lot. And so, yeah, I'm really pleased that he was happy with what I did because that was really important to me. And I mean, it goes to the other guys who were there as well, Simon, the director, Harry, obviously, and Richard, they all put me at ease straight away because, like you said, it's one thing sitting at home and setting your phone up and doing a video for yourself, but to have a big camera pointing at your face and lights and everyone's watching what you're doing, it is very different. So I was lucky that they were all such nice guys.
And they speak highly of you, 100%. Did you enjoy working with Harry? Because obviously Harry de la Cruz is a legend in the UK magic community. Richard told me that he was helping coach you on the day. Was that a good experience?
Yeah, it was amazing. He's a genius.
Yeah, he really is. Richard told me you're a big fan of Dynamo.
Yeah, well, because he was one of the only things I knew about magic before I started. So he's kind of like, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously, Harry worked with Dynamo and has worked with you as well. So there you go. That's what can you say? That's incredible. Awesome. And yeah, genuinely, I really do think that the reason that they sold so many Torn and Restored cards and they continue to sell so many Torn and Restored cards is because of you on the trailer. I thought it was an amazing business decision of Richard to get involved. I really do. Awesome. Now I'm going to ask you one last question before we wrap all this up, which is what's next? Because one thing that everybody has told me about you, and you've said it yourself on this interview, you love magic. You're so passionate about magic. It really drove it home to me when I saw that post on your Instagram page and you had like a card map with cards down and you said, this is my happy place. And, you know, I love that picture. I love that. I thought that was amazing. It's obvious how much you love magic. What's next? Because you've done a lot, you know, in 7 years, you've grown a social media account very, very well. Everybody seems to, like, everybody knows who you are. Like, I'm amazed at how many people know who you are. Everybody knows who you are. You've worked with Richard Young on the Tournament Restored Card thing. You know, you've done so much. Are there any plans for the future? Is there particular projects that you want to get involved in? Would you like to do more things like the Tournament Restored Card? Or are we wanting to do more professional gigs? Or are you just wanting to keep going, doing what you're doing and learning magic and putting it on Instagram? Do you have any goals on your magical bucket list is the question I'm asking.
I've been asked this a few times over the years, and up until now, it's not really something that I've given much thought to because it has always just been a hobby. So it would be like asking someone who knits what their aspirations are for knitting. Like, it's just something that I do because I like it. But now, recently, because I have been gigging a little bit more, not this past year, but, you know, before the pandemic, and having worked on the trailer, it kind of, I enjoyed working as well. So I definitely want to carry on doing those things and see where it goes. But specific goals, it's hard because, again, it is just something that I love doing. So
that's amazing. That's so good. And obviously you're from Liverpool. What's the magic scene like in Liverpool? Are there lots of magicians in clubs that you get to hang out with and jam? You said that in the early days you met up with a whole bunch of magicians. Is that still the case?
Yeah, they're all still around there, but in fact that group of magicians has opened a cocktail bar in Liverpool that has walk around magicians performing. I haven't had a chance to go yet because I actually live in Manchester now, so I haven't been able to travel back because of the pandemic, but it's definitely something I want to check out when things go back to normal.
Well, Manchester has an amazing magic scene as well. You know, there's some amazing magicians that have come from Manchester, so that's fantastic. That's awesome. Ashley, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Do you have a YouTube channel as well, or is it all pretty much on Instagram?
It's all pretty much on Instagram at the moment.
So I'm going to put Ashley's link to her Instagram account down below. Please follow her. If you're a fan of magic and you're a fan of really strong technical performances, Ashley is somebody that you want to check out. You want to go and follow her on Instagram. She is phenomenal. And Ashley, thank you so much for finding time to come and do this. It's been an amazing interview. It really has. To see what you've achieved in just 7 years and the level of which you're performing at in 7 years and the opportunities that you've had and taken and absolutely smashed. It is inspirational. I'm going to say it is inspirational. So thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your story.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
No problem at all. Like I said, guys, please make sure that you follow Ashley on Instagram. Leave a comment down below. I'm sure she'll see it. So if you want to ask any questions, leave a comment down below. And don't forget to subscribe to this channel if you want to see more videos like this. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. And I'm going to be back again tomorrow with 3 videos, 1 at 2, 1 at 6, and 1 at 9. I'll see you again. Thanks very much for watching. Take care. My name's Craig from Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.